Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, in this episode of Child Support Hustle Show, we talk with Christy O'Neill, who's a non-custodial parent that lives in Palo, Texas. And she has been on trial for 18 years and has been incarcerated over 6 times for criminal non-payment of child support. After many years of emotional, physical, and parental alienation at the hands of her ex-husband, she decided to do research for herself about the unjustified family court system towards non-custodial parents. Christy wanted her 3 children, who are grown now, to know that she would never stop fighting for them. Okay, I'd like to welcome Christy to the show, and I also like to welcome Jonathan to the show. How y'all doing?
Hey, good. How's it going, Marcus?
How's it going?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, we're glad to have you. Jonathan, you want to introduce her and open this thing on up?
Yes, sir. Sure thing. Thank you, Marcus. Yes, Christy O'Neill is a non-custodial parent that has been dealing with the child support system since 2001 through a divorce. And it was a very abusive physically, emotionally, and of course, after their divorce, she encountered issues with parental alienation, as we're all familiar with. And you want to share more about that, Christy?
Absolutely. So I was rejected from my children by my ex-husband, alienated from them by the court system, mainly because of the lack of financial abilities to fight in court, in family court, and the lack of resources through knowledge. The past couple of months, the research that I've done, if I had had that in 2001, it may have been a completely different story as far as representing myself. However, I was just a kid. I was 17 when I met my ex-husband, and he was 37, and I was pregnant, and he was able to get custody of my oldest son, as well as the two children that we had in our marriage. And it's been quite the battle, but mainly, you know, I don't in any way, shape, or form think that a parent should not support their children. I just believe that the family court system should go about it in a different way. Title 4D, of course, is a collection agency in itself under the executive branch and should not have rights in the judicial branch. And so there's a lot that needs to be changed, and whatever I can do to help, you know, I'm on arrears now, and they're still trying to put me in jail over things that I've already been put in jail over. And so there's a lot to the system that needs to be changed, and whatever I can do, whatever my voice can do, whatever I physically can do, I'm willing to do that.
Okay, tell
Hello?
Us about...
Oh.
Yes, up here. I was just wanted to ask you about, did you ever take... What was the court's response when you went to them to tell them about the alienation that was going on?
They didn't want to hear about it. I went through a major... When the whole divorce took place and he was able to get child support, supervised visitation, and all the things that he stipulated through his lawyer, I went through a major spell of depression, which through my research, I'm seeing that a lot of fathers go through. I've recently heard of a doctor who lost his degree, his ability to be a doctor, because of a $9,000 child support amount that was put on him. He lost his job and everything else because of depression. I think that alienation contributes to a lack of mental health in a big way. When you're around your children 24/7, which I was a stay-at-home mom for 6 years, and when you get that ripped from you, I think it contributes to a lack of mental health, an increase in depression, PTSD. It's a trauma in itself, and so I think that the courts need to realize that when you there's a drug court program in my county, and they do more for children reuniting with their parents than I've seen child support. Non-custodial parents have access to their parents, and so I think a program such as that, where the court actually gets involved, if they should even be involved, you know. But I think that there should be more hands-on and more looking into both parents, their mental state and their financial state before all these orders are presented to the court.
Right.
Absolutely. Christy, can you share with our listeners as far as the first time that you were actually in court and you had to go before the judge and he ordered you, I believe it was 6 months in 180 days in jail. Can you explain what happened, what occurred in that situation?
Yes. After a failed attempt at suicide, I was living in Florida, and my ex-husband said that he would fly me to my father's in West Virginia, and he would pay for it, and if I went there, so I went there, and I got a job. I got two jobs actually, and they were garnishing money from both of my paychecks. Over $750 a month was being garnished, and I was at one of my jobs at a call center there in West Virginia, and the police came to arrest me. And I said, what for? And they said, for non-payment of child support in Texas. So I showed him, I actually had my paycheck stubs on me, and I showed him where my child support was being garnished. So he called in the magistrate judge. The magistrate judge gave me a PR bond and told me to come to Texas to take care of it. They charged me with a felony non-support, gave me 30 days in jail, and felony probation.
All of this due to a debt. That's what's
correct.
Unbelievable. We can't believe that they're doing so much, like putting people in jail, incarcerating them, prisons laws, and they're also getting money off of it themselves. I talked about a case here in Alabama. Well, all cases here in Alabama, at least in the counties that I'm around, I don't speak only what I know. I've seen them do the same thing like you're saying to you, put you in jail at the same time money is coming out of check. I don't see how that helps anyone to lock someone up because of money that's owed back time when you're getting money from them currently. That right there to me is extortion, and it's extortion of your family and friends because nobody wants to see you there. That's all that is. That's extortion.
Right.
And while you're there here in Alabama, in Alabama, if you get arrearage in this county, I'm going to use Morgan County in Alabama over in Decatur. If you get sentenced for paying non-support, you're going to do 60 to 90 days in jail automatically before you even see a judge. And meanwhile, they're getting up to $200 a day for you being there. So to me, that's like double jeopardy. That's arbitrary fines and penalties. They're getting rich off of locking people up for these debts. Now, the American Psychological Association, they just did a study last year in 18, I think, where they found that judges are becoming more reluctant to believe mothers who claim that they've been abused. And more mothers who make claims of abuse are being seen as hostile. Judges are looking at these mothers like they're hostile for making a claim of abuse. And this does not help the situation because these judges and mediators and family court so-called experts, they don't have the adequate training when it comes to abuse issues. And that's one of the biggest part of the problem. They're not even trained alienation, and a lot of them deny the very concept of parental alienation.
Right. That and when you're locked up, it sounds very similar to the county that I'm in, Smith County in Texas. When you're locked up, they get paid, you know, for each inmate that's locked up. But then also your child support continues, plus interest is added on top of that.
Right. That's that hamster wheel we've been talking about here on the Child Support Hustle. They put you in that hamster wheel that you can never really escape. A lot of people they get that marriage and they keep hitting them with that interest, you're going to be in this thing for life, even when the kid is grown, you know. Being held in the court for a 30-year-old child, being locked up for a 30-year-old child that has married their own kids, and they're still locking these people up.
Right. All three of my children are past the age of, I'm off of current child support, but I just, my ex-husband just showed me papers where they're wanting to take me back to court on my arrearages. And I paid $24,000 in child support, but interest alone was $27,000. So it's like, what the F?
Yeah. So did you, so I hope that everything that since the alienation, I hope that you have reconciled with your children to some degree. And it's, you know, it takes a while. I understand that. But people don't realize the tremendous amount of damage parental alienation does to the self-esteem of the child. You know, you can severely hurt the self-esteem of a child when you do that alienation thing. And I talk to parents all the time and try to get people to realize it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You can hate the other parent all you want to, but if you try to poison that child, you're going to end up hurting that child far more than you hurt that parent. And it's going to last far longer because what you're doing is you're going to set the stage for some generational bad things to happen within that, you know, child's offspring. Because anybody, and there's a study that 85% of the people that are alienated from their parents, they're gonna be alienated from their kids. So all the research is there that this is a very bad thing. We just need judges to stop thinking about their 401ks, which is going to be hard to do, and to stop thinking about their greed and do the right thing.
Well, you know, and a lot of people don't understand, like, and I was one of those. I'm not going to lie. I was one that went right along with everybody else, deadbeat dad, you know, why aren't you in your kids' lives? But having gone through the situation myself, you know, trying to continue to communicate with my kids and trying to put in the effort and trying to pay the $100 per hour for a therapist and then be told that, you know, your ex-husband brought the kids in to see us, so it's a conflict of interest. All that effort, after a while, eventually it's like, what's going to hurt the kids worse? Is it going to be me continuing to fight for them, or is it going to be me waiting until they're ready to take that step themselves? And you just never know. The kid could be mad at you for the rest of their life, believing the custodial parent, or, you know, they could get a mind of their own. I was lucky enough, and I'm super grateful that my kids are all open-minded enough to have that ability to say, hey, I want a relationship with you now. And no matter what my ex-husband continues to do, they just overlook it. I overlook it, and they overlook it. I've been dealing with it most of my life now, so the things that he says and does, we just kind of overlook. And, but the trauma involved, like, it triggers me if my kids disagree with me, because I'm like, oh my God, am I going to lose them because I disagree with them, or because whatever, because that's what their father did. You know, anytime I disagreed, my mom could not have access to my kids because she stood up to him and said, look, I know you and Christy have differences, but she's still my daughter, and I can't have you talking about her in the way that you do in front of my grandkids and me. And so he stopped letting her see them.
Mm-hmm. And there are several aspects of parental alienation, and I hope we get to talk more about this, especially next month, since April is Parental Alienation Awareness Month. I hope to have, and we hope to have here on the Child Support Hustle Show, more shows about that. Now, one of the first things that a lot of, you know, psychologists and other people say is the denigration that goes on. That's one of the signs of the parental alienation. And the campaign of denigration is when the child repeatedly complains about the parent over and over again. They have a lot of unfounded complaints about the parent, and that lets you know that those complaints were seeded in that child, most likely by the other parent and their families. So it's a whole campaign and brainwashing type of thing that the child is continually told that somehow the other parent is inadequate or dangerous or don't love them or something like that. I think all of those acts, basically parental alienation is terrorism. It's terrorism against children, and it should be called what it is. It's child abuse.
It is, and the sad thing about it is my ex-husband is used to be an advocate for child abuse, and he was abandoned by his mother. So for him to claim to my children that his mother abandoned them when I was only leaving him because of the emotional abuse, he was very controlling, and because of our age difference, it was very difficult. And so I wrote up a paper before I left stating that custody and everything would be determined later once I got established in a job and school in Florida. He signed it. Everything was fine. I went to Florida, started making $15 an hour with an engineering company, started school for journalism, was doing really well. And that's when I said, okay, let's reestablish what we're going to do. I was able to talk to the kids and everything, but because I was doing so well is when he hired the attorney and cut me off.
Oh, wow. Okay, let me go back to, like I was talking about, some of the reasons why, you know, kids get that feeling toward their parents. If you want to talk about this, you can, because most of the time there's a frivolous rationalization for this fear or hatred or separation from the parent. Most of the time it's a silly reason. So what are some of the reasons, if you care to talk about them, that at the time your children didn't want nothing to do with you? What are some of the things they were saying, the reason why they didn't want to have anything to do with you? Basically some of their complaints against you.
Yeah, one of I wrote an email to my daughter and she responded with you belong in hell, you're the devil, you're only trying to get visitation with me because of the courts and to make everybody think that you're okay. That was several years ago, but that was a lot of what she was saying, and that was pretty much her father's stance. So I believe that when children hear and are put in the situation of being able to hear what the other parent is saying, if the other parent is angry or accusational towards the other parent, the non-custodial parent, I believe that the children will pick that up.
Yes, and what they do is build up. The reason why they lash out, the reason why I ask you that, because a lot of times in the parental alienation thing, that's what they're doing. They put that in that kid's head, and then after so long of putting that in the child's head, the child all of a sudden has an absence of guilt. And that's why the kid would say you belong in hell and these other things, is because they're showing disregard for your feelings and emotions. And it's not bothering them at all to say or do these horrible, horrible things about the non-custodial parent, because they have been trained and conditioned to feel that way.
Right. And they've been made to believe that they're the other parent abandoned them and that they don't want anything to do with them because they don't understand the legal aspect of it and how much money it costs. And my biggest stance on this is that the family law system is so built around financial gain. Who, you know, like in Smith County, for instance, It's about who you know and how much money you have, and that just should not be. If the family court's truly going to be in the best interest of the child, then it shouldn't be a small town value type thing. It should be, okay, we're going to truly let our law degree and the oath that we took in office be what we make decisions about, and it not be about, okay, I'm going to make $500 off of this case, so let me see what I can do for this person, rather than what I can do for this person who can't pay me.
Yes. And And another thing, too, I've learned over the years about parental alienation and that I wanted to ask you about is how the animosity is spread. Because usually when they when someone does that toward the targeted parent, usually that animosity that's built up toward that targeted parent, it spreads to other family members. Did your kids feel any way toward the other side of the family, like your side of the family, like they felt about you?
Oh, like, yeah, they won't talk to my mom. They still won't have a relationship with my mom because of him telling them.
That's the classic sign that they suddenly hate the relatives of that targeted parent and never want to see them again because of their connection.
Right. Because of history given, like my ex-husband told them about everything that I had told him throughout our marriage about my mom, problems I had had with her and things like that. So he embellished them and made them think that she was unsafe. And, you know, a child wants to be safe and wants to feel secure in whatever environment they go into. And if the parent that they've trusted that has taken care of them or been there or whatever has claimed that the other person's not going to be safe, then they're going to believe that. Hello? 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 Did I lose you? Hello?
The children and families. It's a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce to you Ms. Carol Rose.
Thank you. My purpose today is not to dazzle you with my oratorical brilliance and skills. I merely want to say that I came to the 37th Circuit Family Court to make a difference. I was well qualified and hoped to be able to help Michigan families of divorce and separation, but early on I realized that the system was not designed to be child-friendly. No friendship nor honest conciliation were ever allowed in the family justice system between caseworkers and clients. It was all about money. How to get the federal and state tax dollars that were allotted each case for enforcement. In fact, our director would say regularly, we aren't the friend of the family, we're the friend of the court. We stumbled over ourselves trying to get more Title 4D cases on our records and to increase the child support orders because the federal government granted huge allotments for each case we enforced. In the years I worked in the system, I witnessed regular deception to clients that was mandated by office policy. I saw gender bias and discrimination. I saw records destroyed. I saw office policies and rules change from week to week for the profit of the agency. I saw hundreds of pleas for parenting time or enforcement get buried because there is no money in enforcing custody or visitation issues. Increasing the child support money that came into our offices was the goal for each of us. We were rated according to how much money we brought in through asset seizures, income garnishment, court hearings, warrant issue. We wrote the orders and then we enforced them. The judge merely rubber stamped our efforts. My director proudly told me that the Child Support Enforcement Agency was the darling of the circuit court and that we actually made money for the judge and the court. Unlike the sheriff's department and so many other, our county or state was not an exception to the rule. We were one of the most successful counties, and we shared training with other counties and states so they could learn how to maximize their efforts toward increased collection. We were not only told to withhold information, forms, policies, laws, and statutes from our clients with questions, but we were forbidden to help them obtain legal relief from unfair situations beyond their control. We were instructed to quickly help those who were demanding increases in child support, but we were threatened with losing our jobs if we should breathe a word to encourage an injured or unemployed payer to petition for a reduction of any kind. For the years that I worked in the system, I put my job on the line whenever I helped any of the parties in trouble. We were not to get personally involved. Or parents, we had nothing to do with that. I was derisively accused of wasting my time being a social worker. We worked closely with Child Protective Services and Family Independence Agencies, and they were the same way. No one wanted to improve services or hear about abuses within the system because every worker in these huge bureaucracies was trying to keep his or her job by covering up any errors or problems. I had six secretaries underneath me, unlimited power in my 401k and my office to lose if I should rock the boat. But rock the boat I did when I wrote the book Friend of the Court, Enemy of the Family. Families that were bleeding from the pain of divorce and separation were insulted, tricked, lied to, and deceived by persons without adequate training to be making those kind of judgment calls. Most of the custody determinations were made by unwed, childless individuals who were totally unqualified to hold the lives of so many in their hands. The determinations were made on the basis of the most child support that could be ordered for each case.
Yeah.
Fathers or non-custodial parents were stereotyped as payers only. The court and most caseworkers felt that fathers were unnecessary and possibly dangerous for the children to have contact with. The child support system is an adversarial system. It encourages parental alienation and court battles. Children are pawns in an expensive and elaborate game of winner versus loser. Attorneys coming into the picture further divide the already fractured family and insulate the parents from communicating with each other. Usually after attorneys and agencies become involved, new and creative charges of abuse